Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive contribution to the world with their transformational thoughts, ideas, and activities that encourage and inspire. We will explore important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and much, much more. My name is Tom Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and regular contributor to their weekly e-zine. I just finished speaking at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia. Deepak Chopra was the keynote speaker at that event. I have had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 43 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is Adil Dilal, who I met while I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, at the convention. He was the opening speaker. And being the opening speaker for a prestigious conference like the Napoleon Hill International Convention is a great honor as well as a great responsibility. It can set the tone for the rest of the convention. People from numerous countries, some who had traveled for 2 days from North America, including myself, attended the convention in Kuala Lumpur. And after Adil's talk on the power of visualization, I knew why he had been chosen and why his topic was so important, not just for the convention, but for everyone. Adil's creation of the Pinnacle Performance Zone concept in his book, The 12 Pillars of Excellence, and the soon-to-be-launched Pinnacle Performance Zone software gives everyone the opportunity to turn the art of visualization into a science. The live demonstration clearly showed everyone how they could train themselves to improve and perfect their visualization skills. Improving your skill at visualization also improves the focus of your subconscious mind, which is vitally important in realizing your definite purpose and goals. Adil himself was the perfect person to be the opening speaker for the convention as well. He is a very polished and likable speaker and person, and that came through in his talk. His sense of humor had the audience warmed up very quickly and positively. He was very well prepared, and his visuals really added to the understanding and application of the power of visualization. I had the opportunity to meet and spend time with Adil during the convention, and I found out that he's also a great guy with a warm heart and a sharp mind. And no matter what you do in life, that is a great combination of characteristics to have. I think that is why he resonated so much with the audience. If you aren't the right type of person in real life as you are on the stage, people will sense it. I have seen literally hundreds of talks on personal development and listened to thousands more through various media. To me, Adil and his topic, The Power of Visualization, is in my top 10, both as a speaker and as a topic. His new software, which I hear will be coming out likely in May, will help thousands, perhaps even millions of people achieve their goals faster than they ever imagined or visualized before. Welcome to the show today, Adil.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I almost dropped off when you were talking. I thought you had invited some other speaker.
I have to say, not only myself, but my wife commented 3 or 4 times since the convention about how much she enjoyed that talk and how much she is going to now look into visualization, and she's bugging me to make sure we get the software when it's out as well. It was an amazing demonstration you did, and so I'm really, really happy to have you on the show. Adil, I always start, where applicable, and I know it's applicable with you, I always start by asking when you first read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and also who might have introduced you to the book, because sometimes there's people that care about us a lot that have us read that book.
Sure. Tom, I mentioned in my keynote address is that I met Judy Williamson at one of the conferences, and she's the one introduced me to this conference and also to Napoleon Hill. And I basically read The Law of Success within the last year, and it was an amazing read, and it was very uncanny how similar it was to my book, which I had written just, you know, a year ago. And when I was on Phil Taylor's show, he referred to as the modern-day Napoleon Hill work. So that was, I think, one of the biggest compliments I've had. The Think and Grow Rich book was the one, actually, you introduced me to it. And when I read through it, I was again very amazed at how it is similar, and some of the concepts in there are just uncannily similar. And
yes,
I can give you several examples from it of what I felt when I went through that.
Yes, yes, if you could, because, and also I had read the same thing. Phil Taylor is a good friend of mine, and so I follow him a lot, and as you said, he referred to that book and yourself as, what is it, the modern-day Napoleon Hill. That's quite a title.
Yes, and it's big shoes to fill, but again, you know, when I was speaking at this conference, I saw such wonderful people, and I was truly inspired by speakers like Deepak, and I think the most the person who inspired me the most was you, Tom, because the way you look at life and the way your perspective on life is so unique and so fresh, and I wish other people learned from you on that, too.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Adil.
You.
Now, tell me about some of the principles in this book, The 12 Pillars of Excellence. I saw it, and as I mentioned, I'm going to buy it today at the conference, at the convention. It's a 700-page book. So oftentimes when a book's that many pages, you have to do a bit of a sales job on people to read it. I know I had with The Law of Success when I had the Canadian Rights years ago. It's such a thick book that I think it intimidated people.
Yes.
But I've heard and read many numerous tremendous references to the book. So tell me about some of the principles in that book, and then how they maybe kind of mesh with Napoleon Hill's as well.
Sure, Tom. The main purpose of this book was I've been a project manager for several years, and this was my way of giving back to the field. And to me, I look at project leadership as the main thing, because to me, management is like hanging on to a tail of a tiger. Okay, you have a lot of anxiety, and you're not really able to set a direction. The tiger will set the direction for you. Whereas a leader is somebody who rides on a tame tiger. There is some amount of anxiety, but you are able to set some direction, and the question is, how do you tame the tiger, and how do you ride it? And that's what this book is about, and how do you, if you remove the word project, you can still look at this book as a business excellence book. It is step-by-step of how to get zero-defect projects and how to really take your appreciating assets, which are the people, to the whole new level. So that's in short, that's what the book is about.
I wondered about if people who are, if you took the project part of the title out, I wondered if it still was a fantastic book to read for people. But you say even if you're not involved in project management, that it is a business excellence book, not so much
yes.
solely a project management book.
Exactly, because to me, you know, it is all about the culture. You know, if it's not the success of one project leader, it's the success of the organization. And how do you understand the culture? How do we start changing that culture? So I've actually, the reason this book is 700 pages is it has case studies with every, you know, pillar. Also, it has a tool which everyone can use. It's called the force field analysis, but it's a quantitative tool which you can use to actually understand your own culture from a personal point of view as well as from the corporate point of view, and also create an action plan and come back to it over and over again to make the improvements and set the right direction for yourself and for the organization.
Wow, that is a fantastic tool. As in part of my work with the Canadian Business Journal, I speak mm-hmm. to presidents all day to research their company mm-hmm. and get background on stories. And I always ask about corporate culture. And you can't see it on their website. You don't really see corporate culture. And even executives, some executives that are enthusiastic about it and some people not so enthusiastic. But to be able to measure and gauge what your corporate culture is would be such a vital tool for executives, because they may have their head in the clouds and not really know what the average worker in their company is actually thinking of as far as corporate culture.
And that's exactly where, you know, I personally ran about 300 projects myself, and I've you know, worked on acquisitions, IT projects, major transformation of organizations. And I've given case studies of all of those, you know, some of these, you know, things I've worked on, but it relates to the pillars. Is how, what did I learn? What did I learn from others? What did I learn from some of the leaders I worked with? And, you know, how did I optimize those tools? And that's what this book is about.
Fantastic. So just the chapter on corporate culture, or the pillar on that alone, is worth reading the book for most senior executives. What are some of the other pillars that are covered in the book as well?
Well, the first one, which I really, you know, is about the leadership. And to me, any leader, you know, to me, every human being is a leader of their own career, of their own life. And to me, there are five powers we all need to possess, and the first one is the power of delegation. And people don't realize is that if you do not delegate, you are literally not a leader. You're still, you know, trying to do things on your own. And I really like a quote by President Roosevelt, who said, "The best executive is one who has the sense to pick good people to do what he wants done." But the key thing is, and has the self-restraint enough from meddling with them when they do it. And that is where I see a lot of the issues, where leadership is not, you know, about allowing people to do what they really excel at and giving them the coaching.
So exactly. And that resonates so well with Think and Grow Rich, because Andrew Carnegie
mm-hmm.
was well known for saying that he really knew almost nothing about the production of steel, but it is well known that he surrounded himself with the most brilliant people, and he paid them like brilliant people should be paid. And because of that, he became the richest man in the world, in a business where, admittedly, himself on public record numerous times said he didn't really know much about the production of steel.
That is the crux of leadership. And so basically what I've done is I've created three levels, from a project manager to a project leader to a master project leader. So these five powers will take you to the top level. So the second one on the way is the power of dynamic leadership. Your leadership style depends on the maturity of your team. You cannot have one size-fits-all type of, you know, application. So that's what I talk about. Then the third power is what, you know, I think I talked about at the Napoleon Hill Conference, the power of visualization. And that's something I came about, as I was, being kind of under the microscope, trying to understand my strengths and weaknesses. And I realized I had one of my strengths was futuristic or visionary, and that's how I realized that, hey, this is a strength which I should use to take this, not only for myself, but how can I teach it to the others to be great leaders. And, according to me, every leader, the key role of a leader is to set the direction, show the way to the team. And if the leader themselves cannot see the way, how are they going to lead others? And so the power of visualization is a very key tool to allow leaders to do, exactly what is needed for them to do.
What a fascinating concept, because if you went into a big business or a company and talk about visualization, sometimes you probably will get a blank stare. And yet, sure. If the leaders of the company, if they can't visualize what excellence means in their company, mm-hmm. in their product, in their service, if they can't visualize it, they can't communicate it, they can't train it, and they can't duplicate it in their employees.
That's exactly the point, Tom. You're absolutely right.
And so you have to be able to see the end result as a leader before mm-hmm. you can expect any of your team to see that end result as well. And yet, it's not a topic I've seen discussed in business and with leaders very often. I see a lot of leadership books. I've read a bunch. But not often do they talk about that power of visualization. And yet I know it's so strong because when I saw Law of Success years ago in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I visualized myself on that stage in Malaysia. I didn't visualize mm-hmm. it in Malaysia, but I visualized myself
right.
teaching Napoleon Hill principles. And mm-hmm. even though that percolated in my brain a long time in my visualization, the subconscious needs that visualization for it to go to work on its job, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly the point. And, if you remember J.B. Hill, grandson of Napoleon Hill, he talked a lot about the brain. And in my talk, I referred to how powerful is our brain, and the science behind visualization is what is the key. And that is the topic of my next book coming out, where I will detail out every step of what people need to do in order to use this tool, because any powerful tool can have a positive and a negative impact, and I have seen it used both ways. If you do not know how to use it correctly, you can end up damaging your own career or your own future. So. I'm trying to create, as you mentioned, is make this art into a science and give it to everyone. And it's not limited to individuals. It's not limited to corporations. I think even the national leaders, today, with all the chaos going on in our planet, everyone can use that.
Everyone can use it, and yet a lot of people, or numerous people, will say, well, I don't visualize that well. But everyone mm-hmm. visualizes. They don't realize often that what they do is visualize. But if you say mm-hmm. the word elephant to someone, they don't picture E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T. They picture what they know as an elephant. And so our whole thought process, most of our mind is thinking in visuals. We don't think in the words or the letters. We think mm-hmm. in visuals. So to be able to help people turn what they may not think they're good at or may not have practiced, if you can help mm-hmm. them turn that into a science, you mm-hmm. will really help them see clearly their definite purpose, see their goals, and see the end result. And then that's when we know that the subconscious mind will start working. Oh, my goodness, I met this person. Well, you met that person mm-hmm. because you visualized that end result, and your subconscious arranged for you to meet this person or meet that, get involved in this job. Your subconscious works with however clear your visualization is to go out into the universe and find the results that you need.
And you're 110% correct on that. And The thing is, you cannot put any rational reason. Sometimes it's what happens as part of this is things which you feel are coincidences, but has been created. And I have several examples just in the last couple of months. You know, you talked about Deepak Chopra. He was speaking at a conference, and I kind of visualized meeting him. I wanted to meet him before we go out there, or at least talk to him over the phone. And it was just 2 weeks before the conference, and I'm sitting at the Austin airport. I'd forgotten all about meeting him, and he walks up there, and we end up being on the same flight from Austin to Phoenix. So what are the chances of that happening, you know,
in the real world?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And but there are many instances which I have which are not explainable, but has happened because of the power of visualization.
Exactly. And so, and also, I'm a fan of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and a lot of that programming of the mind involved with NLP involves visualizing your problem as small, visualizing it as big, visualizing it as far away, visualizing it as you crushing it. A lot of visualization goes into NLP, and many people, as I said, would say, "Well, I don't do that very well." What you're trying to do is help them make it a science. And the software that you demonstrated, well, it was so fascinating because it will train people how to visualize. And now you had mentioned about a main or a good use for the software will be with stress. And my goodness, we know that stress, like, please, if there's someone who says they're not stressed, it's just because they don't complain. Everybody is stressed. Yes. But if you can create a science for their brain to relax their body and their mind, my goodness, they're going to think clearer, they're going to come up with better ideas, and their stress level, their heart rate, their blood pressure, all those things can be affected by how you visualize. And so tell me a little bit about those demonstrations, or our listeners, about those demonstrations and a little bit what you can do with that software.
Sure. So, Tom, the analogy I'm going to give you about visualization is the water boils at 212 degrees, correct? And that is a known fact. It's the law of nature. But the thing is that it takes 211 degrees of heat to actually take it to that last degree. So a lot of people want to get into visualization and start doing it immediately, and then when they don't get results, they get frustrated and give up. So I've created the 211 degrees of how to get there much quicker and then hit that 212 degree. And this software is the advanced technology which will allow people to do that. And, you know, just like a great athlete has to train correctly, in order to do this correctly, you have to train correctly, and you have to know, you have to understand yourself, you have to understand how your body and your mind works. And once you get that, it amazingly, it's like a kind of a lock and key combination where you can open that lock anytime you want. And the software basically is like a mirror to the inside. We look in the mirror every day, and we can see all our physical features. When was the last time you've looked inside? And there is no tool out there which allows you to do that. And this tool will allow you to kind of at least begin to understand what's happening inside, and how stressed are you, what stresses you out, what are the stressors, how can you, you know, regain your vitality, your resilience, how can you be a great team player, how can you be a great leader, and how can you basically self-regulate your stress. So these are some of the, you know, simple benefits.
And resilience.
Have fun.
The demonstration was very fun. So tell people about how you can have fun doing this, because that was so interesting.
Yeah, basically what I have is it's an 8-week workshop program. Usually I take people through at their own pace on how they can, you know, understand this tool. But then I let you free on this tool where you will basically be able to play different events. You can light a candle with your mind. You basically are not playing on this game with the keyboard or the mouse. You're literally, you know, your state of mind is dictating what happens on the computer screen. And you can build a house, you can, you know, open a flower, you can drive a car, you can basically race against other people, but just using your mind. So I have three small kids, and they just love this game because they, you know, can really get into the zone, as I say, is the pinnacle performance zone. Just like athletes train in that zone, we all need to understand what that zone is for each one of us. And once we get in there, we can really be a totally different person.
Yes.
And for corporations.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
For corporations, yeah.
I think what happens is we invest a lot of money in our people and we hire the best of the best. But when we stress them out, the impact is just amazing. We, you know, literally the research done says that we are literally killing off the brain cells when people are stressed. I've had a friend who literally was, you know, completely paralyzed due to stress. I had somebody who kind of, you know, had short-term memory loss because of stress. So these are impact which we are creating. So basically, you know, when you invest something in your people and you put more stress on them, you're really defeating your own investment. So this tool will allow corporations to take their people and literally take them to a whole new level.
And what an amazing concept that is, because you know, if you have someone working at half of their capacity due to stress,
mm-hmm.
you know they're not the person you hired, and the, you
right.
know that their creativity is not going to be very high, and you know that their problem-solving skills, so many things that are valuable for the job, will not be operating at peak performance. I know when I worked for the management consulting company, the people that worked on projects were working like 80-plus hours a week
yeah.
and in a different city than they were from, so they flew out Sunday night, flew back Friday evening. They worked 80 plus hours. They worked on the weekend on their computer, and the stress levels were so high that you wondered, you know, how they were able to deliver on projects when their people were just basically ghosts of a body. And so for companies to give employees a way to regulate that themselves, and
mm-hmm.
you and I know that the brain is so strong. If you visualize, as you said, like maybe racing a car, lighting a candle, your brain will build that pathway so that the
yes.
tenth time you go to light that candle, you can do it in an eighth of a second, whereas the first time you did it, it'll take 10 seconds. Because now your brain knows that pathway. Okay, here's what I need to go into to get into that state. And so
yeah.
as you had mentioned, like athletes get into the zone and they know how to get into the zone and they know
mm-hmm.
how to do it quickly. Now you're going
right.
to train people the same way. Get rid of
yes.
stress, relax your brain, focus your mind,
mm-hmm.
and be able to do it quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker each time.
Yes, and you know, you talked about stress, and you know, I've been in those situations where I was completely burnt out, and I was feeling, you know, as I call it, a corporate being, not a human being, and that's a major difference. And what I'm trying to do with the software is, from my own experience, you know, turn the corporate beings into creative human beings and innovators who will take this planet in a whole new direction now.
Wow, and it will have such an impact on not only companies, but the families that those employees belong to, the kids that those
yes.
employees, you know, if they're parents, if they're a spouse, it will affect every area of your life, because if you reduce stress in whatever area,
mm-hmm.
it will impact the rest of a person's life. And so you'll have not only better employees, but you'll have better people working for you. And that's something that can't be measured on a balance sheet, but if you can help improve an employee's life outside of their
yes.
work, you know you're going to also improve their work at the same time.
And, Tom, I'm also the chair of the Human Development Leadership Division of ASQ. And one of the things we're doing is creating a body of knowledge for leaders. But the key thing is today the employee engagement is at all-time low at 21%. So we're losing a big piece of our workforce, and not completely engaging them. So, you know, think about the investment corporations are making and the return on investment. How can you expect to be profitable when, you know, a big chunk of your people are not even engaged, fully engaged with the corporate values and the mission?
Exactly. Their mind is not focused on the purpose and the business, and so they're not going to get the creative ideas and input and feedback and all the things that a company needs from their employees, because companies go to a lot of trouble to hire the right people. A lot of expense, a lot of trouble to find them and to train them. And now if you're going to force them through the corporate culture and overworking them to be at 50% of their capacity due to stress, you really have negated all the effort you put into hiring and training them. And so it's going to be so valuable. Now, is the focus mostly for business for that software? Because I see it as applicable for anybody, really. It's not even just business people.
Any age. I mean, the only criteria is you should be breathing.
Because you had mentioned your kids are using it, and so that would be such a valuable tool. Man, if you could teach visualization to kids and make it fun, they'll love anything that's fun. And when you're teaching them one of the success principles in life to be able to visualize, boy, that's going to make a big difference compared to video games and other games that they play that are basically just teaching them how to move their thumbs quicker.
That is, you know, what, one of the things as we discussed is I want to create technology for the inner space exploration. You know, we're all doing all the, we are doing excavation. We are not doing innovation. Innovation comes from inside. And we're basically, what we need to do is create the next generation of people who can look within, look at the vast space and vast amount of creativity which is hidden, within all of us, and be able to unleash that, and that will definitely create a better world than it is today.
Now, tell me a little bit about Pinnacle Process Solutions. Now, when I used to call, presidents and CEOs to book appointments for the management consultant. And in Canada, we say process, and in the U.S., I think they say process. So it's process, whatever, Pinnacle Process Solutions. But the name kind of implies what you do. But tell me a little bit about the work that that your company does.
We're basically, we're innovating. We're on the cutting edge of technology of how can we take tools like Lean, Six Sigma, tools like, quality tools which are available. How can we take them to the next level? And, we do a lot of training, coaching, consulting, literally all over the world. I have clients almost all over the world. And it's amazing when I go through and do the training, or if I do customized classes for them or consulting for them, it's amazing how common everyone is. Despite all the physical boundaries of the countries, human beings everywhere are the same, have the same emotions, have the same fears, same worries. And the tools which I use here are very directly applicable everywhere I go. So
It is amazing how we are so similar. Like one of the things I interviewed Don Fobbs, who was on the Napoleon Hill Convention trip the other day, and I was mentioning to her, we are a different color, we are a different gender, we're a different size, and we live in different countries, but boy, so much else is so much the same. We think the same. We read the same books. We love the same authors. We attend the same conventions and seminars. And so you are so right. The same. And so when you can help people, become better people who they are. It's just really going to be important to themselves and to the world. And so what you do at Pinnacle Process Solutions is not just what a typical management consultant will do, is analyze their processes and, you know, take out unnecessary non-value-added processes. You do way more than that, don't you?
I do way more than that. To me, one of the other tools I talk about in leadership is the lean thinking, or as I call it, the science of simplicity. You know, to me, chaos and complexity are two sides of the same coin, and simplicity and sophistication are, you know, two sides of the same coin. So
exactly.
What you need to do is, you know, so removing waste and putting technical terms on it is good. But how do we understand lean? How do we understand project? How do we understand those from a human point of view? If people are stressed, if people are not able to focus, if they're not engaged, no matter what tool you give them, they're never going to be successful at it. So I'm looking at the root cause, and if I can solve that, you can see amazing changes and transformation coming, you know, from the people and within the culture of the corporation. So that's where
we
focus it.
And that's where so many consultants miss the mark, because they will just implement maybe a better process, more simple process. But if the people aren't engaged and the people aren't understanding it, why it was implemented, if they're not engaged in the company, any new process still relies on people to implement that process. And if you don't get the people right and the culture right, no matter what work you do, it may not be sustainable if the people sustain it for you.
That is exactly true.
And that's a key thing that so many companies are missing with their consulting. So even if you didn't change any processes but just change the people, the results will improve.
Yes, and that's what I look at. I'm also a certified executive coach, so I work, you know, one of the, you know, you can call it a talent or a skill or a passion, is that I work at all levels of the organization. I can work extremely well, and I can teach a CEO, or I can, you know, show them some of the things equally easily as I would do for a shop floor person. In fact, when I do a lot of speaking, my kids come in because they enjoy listening to me speak, because they understand everything I'm talking about, though I have CEOs sitting in the same audience.
Amazing. And we used to teach, or I used to tell presidents, you know, if you can get your line people, front line people, thinking like a president, thinking like a CEO, thinking about the business like they think about the business, then you have an engaged employee.
Very true.
Now, tell me a little bit about why visualization is so important for people to achieve their definite purpose and their goals. One of the things I find with a lot of people emailing and come to my website have a challenge putting together their definite purpose. And to me, one of the main challenges is, and it's hard to explain it to them or figure out how to teach them, but if you cannot visualize your definite purpose in your mind, you may not be able to put it on paper either.
That is very true. And, you know, and if you can look back at Dr. Hill's words, he said it is really appalling to know that 95% of the people of the world are drifting aimlessly through life without a definite objective. And not only that, out of the 5% of the people who really even put a definite aim in front of them, only about 1% are going to be able to achieve it. So I'm trying to create tools and techniques to be, you know, make it easier for them to start creating the definite chief aim. Because in my book, I talk about a personal vision statement. So corporations have a vision statement. I talk about every major project needs to have a vision statement of its own. Not only that, every project leader needs to have their own vision statement, personal vision statement, which has to link up in some way, shape, or form to the higher purpose of the organization.
Exactly. So, and if you just have it on paper, but you and visualize it in your mind, then it's just the words on paper. You have to actually have it clear in your mind and in your thoughts on a daily basis, not just on a piece of paper.
That is very true. And you know, one of the things is you are going to face resistance as you go through, and it's the people who persevere and who can make it happen. And when every, you know, door closes, they look for the windows which open up for them, are the people who are able to going to be successful. And, you know, those are tools which are not taught in schools today, nor in business schools. And those are some of the things which we need to start. You know, that's why, to me, you know, this book is just one of the books which I've written. The 12 Pillars is just the starting of the journey. There's so much more which is involved to be, you know, if it was working, we would not be in the situation we are. If all the things we have learned in our business schools and in all the theory, if it, everything was working, would you agree that we would be in a different place right now, Tom?
Totally different, but what you learn and what you implement in your life are not always the same.
So,
and it's a topic that I have not heard many speakers talk about. I haven't read many books about it. It tells you the importance. Speakers will tell you the importance of visualization, affirmation, but there's no process for teaching people to do it better. And if you can help them, even if you can help the 1% and double it to 2% of people that accomplish their definite purpose, wow, you've made a significant impact on the world, for sure.
You're absolutely correct. And to be honest, I really think this technology should be used by each and every person, not just, you know, my definite aim is not taking from 1% to 2%. I want to reach out to almost everyone. And you know, I'll do my best to do that. So
I'm looking forward to it. You said now in May, is that when you feel that the software will be available for sale?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
And people can find it through your, what is your website?
My website, it's pinnacleprocess.com.
Ah, okay, pinnacleprocess.com. And so just maybe to close up, do you have some final thoughts for our listeners, Dale?
You know, the quality of people which I met at the Napoleon Hill Conference was just amazing. And, you know, one of the benefits of being at these conferences are meeting great people like you. And, you know, just thank you very much for everything you do and your positive attitude. And all I can say is you're an inspiration to many, so keep it up.
Thank you so much, Adil. And people can reach you at your email as well, adil@pinnacleprocess.com. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
We have a few minutes left. How about telling me about one or two other books that have really, really impacted your thinking and your life?
To me, I think, you know, the Tao Te Ching, the Lao Tzu, that is a book which has really made a difference. Where how do you get to the, you know, to the most, you know, common and the most simple facts about things. And that's something which I try to do in the 12 Pillars too, is I clearly say this is about the Tao of simplicity. Is how to simplify, because anyone knows how to complicate things. It's the geniuses are the people who will be able to simplify things, and that's what we need today.
Exactly. It's part of, in management consulting, we call some things non-value added. And so if you can simplify things and eliminate all the non-value added thoughts and thinking and processes, now you're down to something important. And
very
so
true.
I'm on, just Googled that, the Tao of Change. And so that's a good book I'm going to pick up myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adil, thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to in May when that Pinnacle Performance Zone software is available for sale. And as you mentioned, people can find you the website Pinnacle Process or Process, depending what company or country you're from, .com. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be one of the first customers myself.
Thank you so much, Tom. Pleasure speaking with you.
Have an amazing day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
There we go.